You ever just stop and think about it? Like, how wild is it that we take these tiny little pills and they have these huge effects on our bodies? It's kind of like, I don't know, a key finding a lock, but like on a microscopic level.
It really is remarkable when you think about it that way. And you're right, it's not always a simple one key, one lock situation, is it?
And that's exactly what we're diving into today. We're going deep into the world of drug reactions. We've got these excerpts from some medical journals, and we're going to break them down. Everything from, like, why do we get side effects to how do they even make sure we're taking medication safely?
And this stuff affects everyone, by the way. I think most people don't realize just how common adverse drug reactions are, even the mild ones.
Okay, so let's jump right in. So we know drugs are designed to like do a specific thing, right? That's the primary action. Like if you take an aspirin, it's supposed to get rid of your headache.
Exactly. That's the goal. But here's the thing. That same drug, it can have what we call secondary actions. Things we might not want, but hey, at least they're usually manageable.
Okay, so what's an example of that?
Think about antihistamines, like Benadryl.
Oh, yeah, for allergies.
So the primary action there is to block histamine. Histamine is what causes all that itching and sneezing and whatnot.
Which is why it's so good at making the itchiness go away.
You got it. But Benadryl also has a common secondary action, drowsiness. It makes you sleepy.
Which is like the last thing you want if you're trying to, function during allergy season.
Right. But that same drowsiness, that's actually the desired effect when you use it in over-the-counter sleep aids.
So it's all about context, I guess.
Precisely. But then, of course, you have those reactions that are more than just drowsiness, the serious stuff.
Yeah, like some people have those scary allergic reactions.
And those are a whole other ballgame. Their immune system goes haywire, overreacting like it's being attacked by the drug itself.
And that's when you get into anaphylaxis territory, right?
You got it. Anaphylaxis. That's the most severe kind of allergic reaction. We're not talking about a little rash here. We're talking difficulty breathing, plummeting blood pressure,
Oh, gosh.
even complete cardiovascular collapse. Basically, your heart and circulatory system just quit.
That's terrifying.
Absolutely. You see those signs, you get immediate medical help, no question.
Absolutely. So we've got allergic reactions, but what else? What other kinds of reactions are we talking about here?
Well, there's another thing. It's kind of weird when you think about it. Basically, sometimes medications, they kind of lose their effectiveness over time.
Oh, yeah. Like you need to up the dosage to get the same effect.
Bingo. That's drug tolerance. Your body, it's adapting to the medication.
And then there are those meds that, well, they come with these big warnings about long-term damage. Like some of them are really rough on your liver or kidneys.
And that brings us to organ-specific toxicity. Basically, some drugs, the way our bodies process them, it can actually be harmful to specific organs. And you know what's really cool? Sometimes the medical term for the drug will actually tell you which organ is at risk.
Wait, really? It's like that.
Yep. You see a word like nephrotoxic, for example. Nephro refers to the kidneys. So that drug, it could potentially mess with your kidneys.
Wow.
It's like a code. Once you know how to decipher it, all this medical jargon, it starts to make a lot more sense.
So it's like our organs are these amazing chemists working behind the scenes to deal with these medications we throw at them. But sometimes those reactions, they're not exactly what we expect.
And it gets even crazier because those reactions, they can be completely different from one person to the next. It's wild.
You're talking about those weird cases you hear about.
Yeah.
Like someone has this totally bizarre reaction to a medication that most people are totally fine with.
Exactly. It's like medical roulette almost. We call it drug idiosyncrasy. These reactions, they're unpredictable. They're usually totally unrelated to what the drug is supposed to do. It's pretty fascinating, actually.
So what causes those idiosyncratic reactions? Is it like our bodies just making stuff up as they go along?
Kind of. A lot of it comes down to our genes. We all metabolize drugs a little differently. And those tiny genetic variations, they can lead to some seriously weird responses.
So it's like everyone's got a slightly different instruction manual for processing these meds.
That's a great way to put it.
Which makes me think about, like, when you go to the doctor and they're always asking about your family history, it's like they're searching for clues.
Precisely. They're trying to figure out if you might have some hidden sensitivities or predispositions. It's like a puzzle. All these little pieces come together, and boom, they get a better picture of how your body might react.
So much for one size fits all when it comes to medication.
Right. It's incredibly complex. And it's not just about those immediate reactions either. Some medications, they can have really long-term effects.
Yeah, for sure. We were talking about things like addiction and dependency earlier, right?
Exactly. Drug dependence, that's a big one. It's when your body gets so used to medication, it becomes, well, dependent on it.
So this is more than just like needing your morning coffee to function.
Way more intense. With true drug dependence, there's a physical component. Your body goes through actual withdrawal if you stop taking the medication. Think of strong painkillers or medications for anxiety.
So your body is hooked.
But then there's the psychological side too, the cravings. Even when your body's not physically dependent anymore, your brain still wants that feeling.
Wow. A double whammy. Okay, so dependence is a concern, but what about long-term health risks in general?
That's another huge issue. Some medications have been linked to serious stuff like cancer. We call those carcinogenic drugs. They can actually damage your DNA, leading to tumors and all sorts of problems.
Which is why some medications come with those scary warning labels.
Yep, especially the ones that are used long-term. And then there's another thing to consider, especially for pregnant women. We call it teratogenicity.
Terato what now?
It's a mouthful. Basically, it refers to a drug's potential to harm a developing fetus. It's why pregnant women are often told to avoid certain medications altogether.
Makes sense. You don't want to risk the baby's health.
Right. And that's where those medication categories come in A, B, C, D, and X. Those are based on how risky a medication is during pregnancy.
So it's all about weighing the benefits against the potential risks.
Exactly. Both for the mom and the baby. It's a complex area, for sure, with a lot of ethical and medical factors to consider.
So we've talked a lot about what can go wrong, all these different reactions, the risks. It's a lot. So how do we make sure we're using medication safely? What can we do?
That's where understanding safe medication practices is so important. And not just for us, you know, the medical professionals. For everyone.
I've heard about the five rights of medication administration. It sounds kind of formal, like medications have rights now.
Well, it's not quite like that, but you can think of them as these non-negotiable rules, like a checklist you go through every single time you administer medication. It's all about protecting the patient.
Gotcha. So what are these rights exactly?
So you've got the right drug, obviously, but then also the right dose, the right patient. Believe it or not, mix-ups happen. The right route of administration and the right time. Each one of those is there for a reason.
Like a system of checks and balances to catch any errors before they happen.
You got it. And each right has its own quirks, you could say.
Yeah.
Take the route of administration, for example.
Oh, right. Like, are you swallowing a pill, using a cream, getting an injection?
Exactly. Oral, topical, inhaled. And then you've got all the different types of injections. Each one has a specific technique.
Speaking of injections, I've always been a little squeamish about those. What's with all the different types anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there are a few. So you've got your subcutaneous injections. Those go right under the skin, like when people with diabetes inject insulin.
Okay, so that's subcutaneous. What else?
Then there are intramuscular injections. Those go straight into the muscle, like a lot of vaccines.
Makes sense. So deeper than subcutaneous.
Exactly. And finally, you've got intradermal injections, which go, well, it's a bit hard to explain. Basically, just below the very top layer of skin. They use those for allergy testing or TB skin tests, things like that.
Wow, so much to keep track of.
Right. It's not as simple as just giving someone a shot. It matters where the medication goes, how deep the needle is, all that stuff.
And I'm guessing the technique varies too.
Oh, absolutely. Even within the same type of injection. For example, with intramuscular injections, there's this thing called the Z-track technique.
Z-track. Sounds intense.
It's cool, actually. It helps prevent the medication from, like, leaking back into the surrounding tissue, which can be irritating.
Interesting. So how does that work?
You basically pull the skin tight before you inject, so it creates this kind of Z shape. And that helps seal the medication inside the muscle.
Wow. So much thought goes into something as seemingly simple as an injection. It's amazing.
It really is. But it's not just the physical act of giving the medication. The whole system of how medications are ordered and everything, that's crucial too.
Oh, yeah. Those prescription pads doctors use.
Yeah.
There's no room for error there.
You got it. A medication order has to be crystal clear. Patient's name, medication name, both brand and generic, the exact dose, the route we were just talking about, how often they should take it, when it was prescribed.
And I'm guessing any kind of shorthand or abbreviation is a big no-no.
You got it. Any ambiguity, and it's a recipe for disaster.
Right. So many safeguards in place.
And thankfully, technology is really helping to reduce errors too. Computer systems, barcode scanning, It's adding these extra layers of safety.
Well, that is reassuring.
Yeah.
But even with all of that, I'm guessing patients have a role to play too, right? It can't just be up to the doctors and pharmacists.
Absolutely. Being informed, speaking up, advocating for yourself, that's all part of safe medication practices too.
It's like a partnership.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to ask questions, double check things, and really understand what medications you're taking and why.
So as we wrap up our deep dive here, what's the one big takeaway you want to leave our listeners with?
I'd say this. Meditations. They're powerful tools. They can heal, they can improve our lives, but they also deserve our respect.
Yeah.
We need to be mindful, we need to be informed, and we need to be proactive.
I love that. It's about taking ownership of our health and not being afraid to ask questions. So listeners, if this deep dive has sparked your curiosity, keep exploring. Talk to your doctor, do your research, and most importantly, be your own health advocate. Until next time.